Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's a Jesper and the City.
Terrific stuff. Do you miss the theme song?
No.
No?
Because it's a different show. Yeah, I thought I would miss the theme song. I don't miss it.
You're right, it is a different show, but I think there were some elements from the original. We'll do the introduction in a minute. But elements from this, in particular, how sexual it becomes, which was very much harkened back to the Sex and the City of old.
Correct. Oh, I have many thoughts about that sexy time. But first up, we are reviewing this episode 5 of I was going to call it And Just Like That, but no, it's called And Just Like That.
That's right.
Correct. Exactly. What's the title of this episode, James?
I don't know. I didn't look it up. But I will tell you this much. We've got so much to talk about. We're going to talk about Charlotte's situation, the revelation, the things that she has to deal with in her life. Maybe she's not coping as well, you know. Just yet, she's trying to wrap her head around a familiar situation. Familial situation. We're going to talk about drinking. We're going to talk about sex. We're going to talk about bad backs. We're going to talk about Samantha speculation. We are back. We're going to hold off until the end because for people who may have been listening along, I am I was going to say a hardcore believer, but I am I have some faith in the returning character of Samantha.
Also, it's called Tragically Hip.
Tragically, oh,
I'm really enjoying the titles of the shows, which I always have. I've always enjoyed the titles. I like a pun. I like a quip.
Well, here's something I'd like to ask you. First of all, I'm James. You're Claire. We're married. We both like Sex in the City.
We do.
We both also enjoy this. As a woman who's in her 50s, also with a bad back. How much of this did you relate to?
It's so funny because I really feel it. I feel really old, but then I watch this and I feel youthful.
Sure.
No, someone made the comment, maybe it was you or someone else smart. Actually, no, it was a friend I was asking about their opinion of it, and she said, I really am enjoying it, but I'm noticing that the 12 years have passed or something since we've seen them last, and it feels like a lot. Like she used to feel like they were the same age as her.
Yeah, even did I though. Say that? I think I might
you
have
said something like that,
episode,
but this was our friend Bianca who also said this.
Oh, okay.
And she makes a really good point because I was watching this in my 20s and they were in their mid-30s.
Yeah.
But I felt very akin to them. But now watching this, they've got teenage kids, they're dealing with hip replacements, and they've really ramped up the aging thing.
Oh
but
my
I
God,
also
yeah.
do think it's there's some shift where you do a lot of aging in those
totally.
Years,
kids,
right?
They take their time.
Yeah, the kids, it's the kids, but you know, and actually, Kerry does look a lot more rested than the other two.
Yeah,
but it's that. But it's also, I think, there's just a big leap between your 40s to your 50s.
Yeah.
It feels, and this is I'm very aware of it.
That's when you see you get photos of celebrities. Like in that age, and they're like, "What happened to John Hamm? He used to be so handsome." It's like, "Well, he's 50. That's what happened to him. Leave him alone."
Oh, John Hamm, he'll always look good. So he'll ripen like a good old ham.
He will. No, I just
had
to quickly look this up. So Sarah Jessica Parker in real life, though, a mother of three.
She is. So yeah. Did you not know that?
I knew she was a mother. I didn't know how many.
Yeah, and she's got teenage kids. Actually, one's gone to college now. I know that because I follow her on Instagram.
Fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
There was a funny little moment that I noticed in this, and I think it was like an off-script kind of thing that they captured and then put in when they're in the coffee shop and she's talking about her bad back, which has actually turned out to be a hip problem that she'd had from birth. Anthony was making jokes about it and it looked like he actually broke Sarah Jessica Parker in the scene.
Yeah.
She looked like she was actually
laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
you get that sense?
I did too, actually. Yeah. I really loved that. It was interesting because it's sort of the four of them sitting like they would be Samantha.
Yeah.
And they put Anthony in instead, which I think is a bold choice. When whoever's
you put anyone in, that's bold.
Yeah, and I know they had Stanford in there. But for some reason, I think that shot looked very Sex and the City.
Yeah.
The other one was sort of awkward and Stanford's chair kept getting bumped, but this was very iconic Sex and the City placement. And to have him there and cracking some really killer jokes was really good.
Yeah. Because, you know, they're not, I guess, completely uncommon, like him and Samantha, do you know what I mean? They're like outrageous.
No, they've, yeah.
Obviously, they are very different in many
ways.
Yeah,
and he's making some great like puns and sort of like just really giving it
puns
to Harry.
Puns and buns, it would say.
Yes, many buns. What I am loving about this is the old Carey story arc that's really ramped up through this
absolutely.
Episode.
Absolutely. And from that, what I also liked about how her friends like come together to help her, which I think you as – if you stick around with people long enough, you know what I mean, and you are the main people in their life, you're going to maybe be in a situation where you help them go to the hospital and put them on the toilet and you see them like very, very vulnerable.
Very vulnerable,
and reliant on you. And this show's obviously a lot about – always been a lot about that, but it's different in your 50s as opposed to like, I don't know, you need some toilet paper under a cubicle door or whatever, which is not, again, what this show is like. It's,
no, because
it's more about, it's more than that. But,
it's interesting because Miranda does get eye surgery in the old series and she ends up saying she doesn't need anyone at all to help her, and then Steve comes and supports her.
Oh, Steve, my boy Steve.
Oh, I know, he's really, he's barely in it and he's like really copping it.
He's not in this
at
all.
No, he's not. No, because so just quickly recap. So Kerry, she has sold her apartment. Seema, you know, her amazing real estate, who's like glamorous. Yeah, yeah, she sold her apartment with Big. Seema, who sold it, who's a real estate agent, she wanted to see her brownstone apartment where she's living, and so Kerry comes ashore and she's like hobbling up the stairs with an umbrella, and then Seema says, you've really got to get that looked in. Kerry, as she often does, just ignores real problems.
Yes.
She's busy being Kerry, doing bits and having like things on her head. And so Seema's like, no, Kerry, you really must get that looked at. And for some reason, and it was the same in a lot of the movies too, Kerry can't sort her own life out.
No.
She needs someone
like
really
finances
glamorous.
Or
her apartment
practical
or like
stuff,
practical stuff like mice in her kitchen or the fact that like nothing works. Aiden was going to famously like knock the walls down because her apartment was being sold and she didn't know what to do.
And she like broke out in hives and well, that was a whole lot of
things. That was a whole lot of thing about the wedding. But you can feel it.
You can feel it.
It's like the winds in the east from Mary Poppins.
Did you feel that though? We'll talk about it, but like there's definitely a change in her towards
the end
of this.
Yeah. I really liked that. This is the first episode where we've seen both Kerry and Miranda be sexual beings.
Yes.
Even though
Kerry, there was that awful big masturbation scene. But
that's true.
But that wasn't, that didn't.
It doesn't feel sexy.
I felt very uncomfortable. Not unlike people around the actor in real life,
correct,
which we'll not get into this
week. And it's even more creepy in context now too of all of that. But let's shelve that.
Yeah.
I do think, they've really kind of brought that joy of like that kind of sexual desire anyway for Kerry is coming in this episode in an interesting way.
Yeah.
And for like younger guys as well.
Yeah.
Because she breaks her hip, she's having surgery, and then because Big's not there as well, the girls have to rally around her. And I love that scene where after she's had the surgery and then she gets carried in by one of, what does he call them? His hot fellas.
Yeah.
They're hot fellas baked goods business from Anthony.
He didn't look like a real guy. Like he steps around the corner. He looked like a mannequin, like stuffed into a.
Yeah, he did. And actually that particular scene
shorts,
I've seen already because like the internet went bonkers because they caught some footage of that from when it was filmed.
Oh, okay.
And no one knew what the context was, but everyone was like,
"What is
Kerry's
this?"
With her fluffy shoes in the air. It was all very fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, the toilet scene as well. Hey, they did that really well. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Very vulnerable and sort of they did. I did note down that they put her in a grey cardigan and pearls, as well as socks and stocks, like socks and Birkenstocks.
Well, I thought that this was pre-surgery because she didn't look like she'd just had surgery. Do you know what I mean? I guess it could have been like a couple of days after.
It was definitely meant to be post-surgery.
Yeah, I know, but like just the fact that she was like the way that she dressed. Walked and sitting up in bed, and she wasn't like hooked up to anything or whatever. But I think it was supposed to be like, oh no, I've gone to the toilet before, the nurses have lifted me. So I think it was like 2 or 3 days at least.
Yeah, you're right, after, because when someone actually comes out of surgery, they've got like, things sticking out of them.
We've both experienced that, and you're just
you're not in your best pearls and cardigan.
Yeah, and she just wakes up and she's like, oh, you're here. And it's like, your reaction would be different.
I do think Kerry plays being high very well.
Yeah,
like, I just think she's a fun, high person. She's not always fun all the time.
There's a couple of things that she does. Her and Charlotte are sitting in the back of the van, the sexy bread van.
Yeah.
And they're just eating plain bread. And I'm like, no. Like, that could be the best bread in the world. But you don't just eat, like, plain, hard, crusty bread, do you? You need butter or something with it.
Oh, mate, you do not understand.
No, I love bread, but I'm
No, but carbs. Those two, if you look like that in your 50s, you have not eaten a carb for, like, 10 years. So they're high eating fresh baked buns.
They're leaning in. I don't reckon they were eating anything. I reckon if you rewound that scene, they were just holding the bread and going, oh, very good.
Of course, they're not actually eating it. Don't be ridiculous.
I just thought it was a waste of carbs. It's like, if you're going to eat bread, do it properly. You know what I mean?
I love a freshly baked bun.
Absolutely. But there was
in more than one context in this episode.
What was the other thing you got to say? Oh, the high thing. It's one of the bits, because we watched this together. Was that you had trouble watching was the podcast where Carrie was high.
Oh, I mean, look, I loved the straw hat with the pink flowers on it. Yeah. It was, and I loved, that was really funny. I thought that was just a very funny thing because she loves hats. She loves accessories, Carrie. She's always doing little bits where she's like, ooh, I'm a Carrie. I'm a little, you know, vignette of a human being.
Yeah.
But yet I can't figure out how to fix the stain in my roof or sell my own apartment or pack up my own things, apparently.
Yeah.
Or sort my own back out and book an osteo appointment. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Anyway, but she's wearing a silly little hat with the pink flowers on the top and with like a bonnet. And I loved that. And I loved that she told the story about Samantha and the whole like diaphragm and having Samantha having to get. I loved that inclusion. I felt like that was such a nod to the fans and I really – oh, but we're not going to talk about that.
Well, no, I think we should talk about this and then come back to the response.
Okay, yeah, because we got to have your Samantha. Yeah. So I won't go too much into that.
Would you say, I went to thedip.com. Samantha really did pull out Carrie's diaphragm in season 2, episode 6 of the original series. So I'm like, I'm sure that happened. But
it absolutely
did. But I couldn't remember specifically when.
Oh, no, it absolutely happens. Yeah, yeah. And they're all going out on a night out and it got stuck and she has to go in there and she asks other people and they all say no. And Samantha's like absolutely, and has this great look on her face and like she's going into battle.
Yeah.
It was really great.
I couldn't remember when.
Great episode. Yeah, it was such a lovely note. So I loved her high in a pink flower hat talking. Yep. What I didn't like was the weird laughing on the other end.
It's just a weird podcast.
Weird podcast, like her two co-hosts. And Shay in lots of other scenes I really love. But on the podcast she becomes this weird, awkward laughing, manic, like kind of caricature. And, I mean, the podcast, for goodness sake, is called X, Y and Me.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Like, what is that? I don't even understand what that even means.
I don't know. Do they have a microphone up to the computer to record her?
Yeah.
I guess that's why she was
No, but that was why. And that's believable. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't think she would have the foggiest idea of how to set up a mic to record a podcast.
But they can because they're in a professional studio. So if she's calling in, they would be able to record that audio off that computer without putting a fucking microphone up to it. They're in a professional studio. We're in a semi-professional studio,
we're in the back room in our house.
But we are equipped to do that. It's not true to life. It's not true to podcasting. When will television get podcasting right? They did that Zach Braff Gimlet show about podcasting.
It just doesn't work.
And I've talked about this before. That show should specifically appeal to me, right? Yeah. That show. It's like it was made exactly for my demographic alone, and I'm still like, nah, I'm not watching that.
Do you know what part of it is? It's like that comment you made about comedy and how comedy in a TV show very rarely ever works because it's scripted.
Yeah.
And I think that's the problem with podcasting is that it's a natural conversation.
Yeah.
And maybe obviously actors have a scripted conversation and most of the conversation in this is great, but they haven't been able to script it in a way that feels natural. I don't know.
Probably should have done is that – I don't know if you're familiar with the Curb Your Enthusiasm method. Larry David, who co-created Seinfeld, he has his own show now. He's been doing it for like 20 years on and off. But they have a rough outline of a story and literally everything else is improvised. So all the conversation. So I think if they went in and they were like, okay, Carrie, you're going to tell this story and you're a bit reluctant to tell them whatever, and then just let them talk, and you let them talk for an hour, you could easily get like 30 seconds out of it, I think.
Yeah, you wonder, don't you? Because I wonder if Sarah Jessica Parker can do improv. I don't know.
I don't think it needs to even be improv. Like, you can just talk.
Talk.
And you get something out of it, you know? Because she doesn't need to be good at it. I guess that's the point.
Yeah, and
that she's the awkward one. And I'm like, is she? Because this whole thing feels bad.
No, because I feel like she's actually okay at it, and the other two do this weird giggling thing. I don't know. It's very odd. But
it might be intentionally supposed to be bad. I can't tell.
I can't tell either. And it could be, because this show is doing lots of twists and turns, right? And it isn't getting rave reviews. Like, you don't kind of hear about it doing super well.
Well, you say that, but it is easily the highest subscriber sign up for HBO Max.
No. Ever. I don't mean the show.
Oh,
I mean
sorry.
The podcast in the context of the show.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think anyone's like saying it's been written up in the New York Times or anything.
Yeah, no, yet.
Yeah, but it seems terrible at the moment. So maybe it's supposed to be terrible.
Sex
or she's
in the podcast, they should have called
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Maybe that would have got people.
Maybe that would have. Yeah, anyway, so that is very odd. I find that really weird.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
We should talk about, though, Harry and Charlotte's
storyline.
Who has become Rock, which I think, look, not my first choice of name. There already is a The Rock. You know what I mean? But, you know, you're finding your identity. You're having a go at it.
And, well, she or they, as they're wanting to be called in the show's context, is 12.
Yeah.
So I think maybe when you're 12, maybe you would call yourself Rock. I don't know.
I think it's interesting because they come into the school and they're talking to the teachers and staff about it.
We should say up top that what's interesting too is that Rose doesn't tell Harry and Charlotte.
No.
And Charlotte finds out on a Zoom call with a whole lot of other mums, is mortifying.
And then a TikTok. And I don't think that was an intentional thing to not tell them. I think it was just like, this is how I communicate and, you know, you missed it, keep up kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
I did a cringe rap. It was very cringe.
It was so bad, wasn't it? But then
that's
when you
kids.
Think, and the character is 12.
Yeah.
So it's right. Probably not going to be genius TikTok, is it?
That's
really.
It. And it's interesting because they're talking with the parents and Harry's like, look, I don't know, like, is this an attention thing? Like, if they wanted to, if they could, just ice cream, you know, for dinner every night. And I think, though, both of those things can be true. You know, you can have a solid idea of who you want to be or who you, you know, what you're moving towards and also be 12 and want to have ice cream for every meal. And I don't think those things like...
are mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I'm really enjoying actually, and I haven't seen done before, and I'm sure there are shows that have done it, but I haven't seen it.
Mm.
They're having a really honest conversation about how they feel as parents.
Yeah.
And knowing the character of Harry and Charlotte are both very traditional in their roles and in their lives. And they're struggling, and not in a way where they're saying we don't believe that someone who is non-binary, they're not saying we don't believe in people being non-binary or being trans. It's not that. But they are having a really honest conversation about struggling with their child changing their identity.
Yeah.
And I think that rings really true. And I think part of it is because one of the writers is actually experiencing that in her own life.
Mm.
And so I actually really appreciated that. I think it's brave to do that.
Yeah.
But I think it's an important conversation because I think it would be disingenuous for them to just jump on board with it and not be challenged.
Or be the opposite and be like, no, you won't or whatever, like, because that's not true. Because
that's the storyline we see as well, right, more so.
Yeah.
Or the opposite where they're just embracing it all. And I think Harry's struggling in the way he's struggling and the way the teachers, in a way, it would be infuriating.
Yeah.
Like one of the teachers are sort of talking to them about their child like they don't know their child.
Which is also not incorrect.
Yeah, exactly. But that would be really confronting. And Harry says that, I think.
Yeah.
That it's really humbling to have people tell who aren't you tell you about your child. And I just sitting there thinking, whoa, yeah, that would be
And I
hard.
Guess, you know, from our perspective, like our experience is very limited in this regard. Mm. You know, we don't at this point, you know, we don't know what our kids are going to grow up, you know, what kind of person they're going to be. So For me, it would be a fine line between how do I navigate this in a way that they feel loved? Do you know what I mean? What's the best road forward? You know, and you don't want to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. You know, and
exactly.
it's just a difficult thing to navigate. And it's kind of like the way I try to do things. You know, because a lot of the stuff obviously I say and do is online. I don't always get it right, but I'm trying to learn, you know what I mean, and not just terms of pronouns, but to be open to people's experiences and all of those things. And it's a difficult thing to navigate, but I also think it's supposed to be difficult. You know, it's supposed to be challenging. You're supposed to think about these things. You're not supposed to go, well, that's not in my opinion.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. Exactly right.
Again, I don't know what I'm talking about. What do I know? You know?
No, I really appreciated the conversation between Kerry and Charlotte as well. Because I think Kerry says something really wise. She corrects Charlotte's use of pronoun.
Yeah.
And then she also says, but what a great kid.
Yeah.
And I can't tell you what's going to happen, but I do know you've got a great kid.
Absolutely.
And I think that in itself, right, is the key to it all, is that you just have to love them. And as best you can, and I don't know. I can't imagine as a parent then what choices you would go down with the road of, like, I don't wonder if they're going to discuss medical choices as well, because I think that's such a really challenging and interesting road to go down when a child is 12.
Yeah, that's right.
And what happens there as a family? What you just want to be making the best choice for your child at that time.
That's it.
It's going to be. It's interesting. I'm really enjoying that storyline. It's heating up.
Speaking of heating,
Lordies.
First of all, obviously Miranda's drinking is heating up to a point. A book arrived in the mail. Quit Like a Woman: The Radical Choice to Not Drink in a Culture Obsessed with Alcohol. Real book. I looked it up.
Oh,
and she's like, I can't believe Charlotte sent me this book. I don't drink too much. Turns out that she got really drunk and she bought that book herself.
Yeah, that you find out the end. Yeah.
A fun twist. But then, of course, the relationship between her and Shay steps up a notch. They have a few meetings. And then the second one, there is some intercourse standing up in Carrie's kitchen as Carrie is struggling to get out of bed with a busted hip to pee into a
bottle. Diet peach Snapple bottle. Yeah. I wrote that down.
And that's good. And I turned to you, I'm like, is that even possible? Can you even do that?
Oh, yeah,
the
you
opening
can.
Of that,
yeah. Did you not think you could do that?
It just seems like a very narrow margin of error.
Yeah,
like,
it is.
I would struggle with that if it was like, you know, if I had to aim for like distance, do you know what I mean?
But I mean, you get up close.
Yeah, though. No, of course, obviously, I wouldn't struggle like actually because I could just, you know, I could.
Yeah, you've got the hose there to kind of navigate the direction.
But, it did, as mentioned up top, it did feel very much like old Sex in the City where, like, one very sexual thing was happening in one place and then a ludicrous
thing is
comedy
happening.
And errors. And I guess they're both funny as well at the, you know, in the same time.
Yeah.
Ludicrous and funny scenarios.
It is interesting because it was such a juxtaposition, wasn't it, and happening in the same room. And I think it was genius.
Yeah.
Like I think the whole scene, the way they set it up, the way Shay has sort of been popping in and coming in. And so I think the tension's been building, right?
Yeah.
Miranda's been welcoming Shay in lots of different ways in a way that the other two haven't been really and almost seem a bit confused.
Not like dismissive, but.
No, but just, you know, Kerry's
like,
unwell.
This is just a person.
Yeah, she's my.
We don't, you know.
Yeah, they're my boss.
Yeah.
You know, they're not, you know, in a friendship circle.
Yet.
Exactly. It's so interesting. I felt like all of the characters in that scene played it so well. Carrie waking up from her nap and really needing to pee and then the way that she kind of sees what's happening in the kitchen and then looks away as you would because they're your friend and like, you can't
is this
believe
even
it.
Happening?
And she's hot. She's like, obviously, she looks away like you would.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's clearly on pain meds and things as well, but she's desperate to go to the loo. And what does she do? She can't cry out. She's. But then also Miranda is clearly so swept away.
Yeah, and drunk.
Yeah, and drunk. And that's the other part of it, right? Like the way that she flirts with Shay and then she leads that.
Yeah, oh, totally, yeah.
Completely.
She's like, can you do that shotgunning thing from
before? Yeah, exactly. And kind of leads Shay into that and then saying that she's never had an experience like that before.
Yeah.
And then I think the confrontation between Kerry and Miranda is
yeah.
genius. I think the scripting there is just so good.
What I was really happy about was when Miranda's going to the toilet afterwards and she's just like buzzing, you know, from what's just happened. And Carrie's just like, what are you doing? Like there's no like, oh, should I say something or whatever?
No, she's goes just straight like, away. Even the way she just says, can you shut the door?
Yeah.
Like because Miranda sits on the loo and thinks Kerry's still asleep and then the way that Kerry says, can you shut the door is so like cutting because it's immediately clear how angry she is and then she just goes for her while the door is shut. And then what's interesting is the way that what would happen in real life, Miranda's embarrassed but also kind of still buzzing and not sure how to handle it and is hoping Kerry will just go back to surface level and maybe she didn't see everything. And so she comes out and she's like, I'll just clean everything up. Everything's fine. Don't even look here. Everything's fine. I'm just getting the sheets. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize you needed me. And she was just hoping that Kerry wouldn't pursue it. And Kerry, they're such good friends that Kerry absolutely pursues it.
I love how, though, it's the point where, like, because Kerry has seen that she's had a problem with alcohol and is just like, ah, it's fine. She's, you know, she's whatever. Yeah. And then the moment it, like, directly affected her, she's like, you have a drinking problem. Like, like prior to that, Charlotte brings it up and she's like, nah, she's all right or whatever. But as soon as it, you know.
Affects her directly. You left me alone.
Yeah.
That is so true. It's that selfish Kerry thing that comes out in her, right? Because she's like suddenly like, I'm peeing in a Diet Peach Snapple bottle and I'm alone. You said I wouldn't have to be alone. And she almost has a little mini tantrum about it.
Yeah.
Rather than coming from a place Charlotte's coming from, which is I'm worried about my friend.
Yeah, totally.
But then again, Cynthia Nixon, her acting in this.
Oh, killing it.
Oh.
Again, favourite character.
Oh, yeah, hands down. Because what's amazing about it too is that she goes, she does that kind of high, everything's fine, I'm just getting some sheets. And then she goes into the, it's, I was just, I got to be carried away thing. And then all of a sudden she's just, I'm unhappy. And she's just so deeply feeling in that moment. My whole life I'm unhappy. I don't want to be this person anymore. Yeah. I hate my marriage. I hate my life. I'm trapped.
When she said that, like, I hate my life and, like, I have for, like, a really long time, I was like, oh, how long is that? You know, because I know they kind of got together initially and maybe stayed together because of, you know, because of the baby. You know, is it 10 years? Is it 20 years? You know what I mean? It's like... Because I don't think it was always that way with her and Steve.
No, because that's so interesting because I always saw her and Steve as actually the great love story of the show.
Yeah.
Because I felt like they were the most relatable but also had great chemistry but also went through a lot and he broke down her walls and changed her in a way that was really beautiful and they seemed to have a really great sex life. Like it all seemed, you know, they're sitting outside that pub in like – I think the last, you know, last episode of the TV series and they're having a drink and, oh, no, that was in the movie, in the end of the first movie.
Yeah.
And so I think it's really interesting because in that first movie you do see them in a really bad place.
Yeah, they're not having sex and.
And she's caring for his aging mother plus Brady's little plus she's got a high-powered job and he's got the bar and you do see that. So you wonder how long.
I think they took each other to, like, initially to a point and he was able to, well, they opened each other up and to new experiences, but I think at that point maybe that's all they needed from each other.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay with people and relationships, you know what I mean? And not to say that, you know, you should use other people to get what you want, but I think it maybe ran its course at that point, you know what I mean? And she was ready for something else and he was like, no, I'm good here, you know?
Yeah, this is how I want to die. Just slowly getting decrepit, lying on the couch watching Netflix, eating special ice cream out of little special bowls.
Yeah, exactly. So she's having sex in Carrie's kitchen at like 4 p.m. in the afternoon or whatever, and he's probably getting ready for bed. He's putting his teeth in a jar.
Yeah, exactly. And so it is sad that they've done that. Made that choice for that couple that I feel like was such a beautiful
forward to seeing how that plays out with Steve and if they give him some depth.
Because they haven't given him any depth.
No, and I think it would be a bit of a cop-out if she goes to him and is like, I'm not happy and whatever, and he's like, oh, I'm Steve, I knew this was coming, we had a good thing and whatever. I would like to see some kind of reaction from him that's not just like, I'm old and...
Yeah.
This was fun, wasn't it, you know?
Exactly. And I do
think... don't know whether we are going to get that, though.
I think we will.
I hope so.
I think we will because the way that they've treated all the characters in this show, and I feel like it's almost deliberate that they've caricaturized Steve in that way, though he did have his Peloton moment in the wardrobe where he was like, I blame the bike, and Miranda's like, it's definitely not the bike, it's other things.
Bike didn't even get a look at this week.
Yeah, I know. What, the first episode without mentioning Peloton? Instead, maybe it's sponsored by Diet Peach Snaffle.
It might very well be.
But I do think that...
Drink it all, then pee in a bottle. Yeah. I think that's their motto.
Yeah, because they really... Like, Steve wasn't even in this episode. And I give their writers enough credit, Michael Patrick thing. The amount of work that's gone in and love they've given to each of those characters, even to Samantha, who's not even in this episode, I think they'll do it. I think they'll go there. And I think it will be heart-wrenching.
I really hope so. And I hope that – I think that conversation is going to go through the family as well. I think it's going to blow up with Brady and whoever Brady's girlfriend is. And Steve, like, I think it's all going to come to a head.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I hope. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. I think they will because of the depth that they went to in this episode.
Yeah.
They're unafraid to go to really quite confronting. It's mainly awkward. So many scenes in this are awkward, right? In the best possible way, in that you're cringing, but you also know that it feels sort of true to life in different ways. Obviously not necessarily the brownstone in New York and the outfits, but there is so much depth.
Yeah.
Yeah, and actually I wanted to quickly mention something interesting about last week's episode as well. I hadn't realised, actually.
Do you want to have a quick look-see?
Yeah, sorry.
Well, while you're doing that, I might just mention this because you know how I'm an idiot, right? You're familiar with that. For some reason I never connected, this is embarrassing to admit, Amanda, Miranda's drinking because she decides to pour it all out in this after she realizes she sent herself the book. Yeah. And I think it's also because she had that moment with Shay where, like, I never connected her unhappiness and, you know, and her working through her sexuality with her drinking. For some reason, I just thought those things were, like, mutually exclusive. Obviously, you know, because I'm such an idiot. I can't believe I didn't put that together. But that makes so much sense because often with substance abuse problems, there is an underlying factor. It's not just because I like this, you know what I mean? You know, addiction has – there's a lot to it, and I'm an idiot is my point. Anyways, what were you going to say, though?
Oh, I was just going to say that last week's episode, some of my best friends, one of the things I really enjoyed about that was that Charlotte got to show her art pedigree and the way she explained the art within LTW's house was really, like, amazing.
Yeah.
And I hadn't realized just how groundbreaking that was. So to put in context, it was really important that for the writers to show Black millionaires, basically,
who
are genuinely people that live in New York, and there is a whole scene. And so that choice of that family in that house was actually to show these people who really do exist, like a window into that world, and how important it was for the audience to see a different side of life in that way.
Right.
And I don't know why brought that up now. I think it's just because it was something I hadn't talked about last week. I don't,
absolutely.
And I wanted to just mention that because I found that really interesting. I'm listening to that HBO Max podcast with Michael Patrick King and the writers of the show, And they just talked a lot about that. And the artwork was incredibly difficult to get. They had to really go on.
Was it real artwork?
Yeah, it's all real.
Really? Yeah.
All from real artists.
You don't have to do that.
No, and yeah. No, so that whole recreation was done with so much love and research yeah. and connection to the black community within New York and the black art scene.
Right, okay.
So I just – so there's so many layers to last week's episode that I think – unless you knew the context of that and listening to these writers, it's such a good podcast to go and listen to yeah. if you're a really diehard fan, because it does give you a major insight into why they had that episode the way yeah. that they had it and so many of the structures within it. It was so good.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I thought that's really cool.
I should listen to that, but I also like you telling me about it. Maybe I'll go back at the end when we finish the wrap-up, but I like yeah. hearing about this.
And also the artwork is absolutely stunning.
Incredible,
I've gone back and watched those episodes again.
You watch these like multiple times.
I do. Yeah. It's layers and layers. I just go back.
Not me. I understand everything immediately. Except for the drinking thing. I will concede that. But all the subtext, all the hidden subtext I get immediately.
No, I don't. I have to go back. I'm not a pro like you.
No, I'm not. I miss things like obviously all the time. It's just that I am more used to watching a thing and making notes as I do it.
Yeah.
Whereas you don't.
You would sit
and absorb it, and then you watch it again and make notes, which I think is, in all honesty, a way that you should do this.
Well, it's just such a treasure to me, this show. It doesn't happen very often, and so I want to watch it as a fan first and then watch it again as more critiquing analytically. I go and read the articles and go, oh, actually, I missed that and this and the other.
Again, no, I didn't miss anything. But listen, here's something I also didn't miss. So Hearts Are a Flutter. It's not just Miranda.
No.
Or some people like to call her Amanda, not her name. I'm a big fan and I know that.
Rambo, actually, apparently.
Right?
Yeah, she's called Rambo in this episode by Shay. She says it quite often.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And then,
I also picked up on that,
and
definitely.
Charlotte and Carrie are like, why is she calling herself Rambo in an episode? Well, they're doing their old lady waddle to the bathroom.
Anyways, so. Travis, the physiotherapist
I've written about this.
Yes, so she decides to pay out of pocket, even though her insurance is not going to cover it. I'm sure she's going to be fine. She's got like $50 million or whatever.
Correct.
But to hang out with this handsome dude, because you know she sees this guy and kind of you see a bit of that old single Carrie like reappear.
Yeah, I've said she does the Carrie. Yeah, blinking in the headlights face.
Yes.
Where she's like, yeah. And she like shoves her purse at Charlotte, and she does that thing which she always does when she sees someone she's really into. She just immediately ignores her friends and goes straight for the hot guy.
What I think is interesting about that though as well is unless I'm wrong, I don't think he was ever meant to be a character of substance. I think this was just to show that – she's starting to open up.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, but, you know, she might have a fling or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think like that and the bread guy are like these are small steps towards
awakening, getting some
like dates and then bring back Aiden and
all those different things. It wasn't at all a coincidence that you see that and then it skips 3 months and she's in the most incredible outfit.
She's looking good. She's looking good.
The camera pans up. She's back in her heels, in her sparkly heels, in her sparkly, stripy, sexy, slinky sequin dress thing.
Yeah.
And she's in profile in her brownstone and that iconic kind of look through her wardrobe. Mm-hmm. And whenever she's doing like a real pose, she does that Carrie pose thing.
Yeah, yeah.
In that wardrobe thing. And she looks incredible. That dress was spectacular.
Looking
like
good.
Rainbow.
Looking sharp.
Amazing. But it was definitely like sexy Carrie's back.
Sexy Carrie's back. Big's dead. Good. Let's go.
Yeah, let's get some sexy Carrie going.
Sexy Carrie time.
And that was quite fun. It was interesting. They're young guys as well.
Yeah.
And
hey, why not?
I thought that was quite interesting. Yeah. But
I can't imagine her with like a big muscular like clown of a man in tight shorts. Do you know what I mean?
Like the hot guy.
Yeah, I just can't see that even happening as a fling. It just doesn't.
Oh no, because he didn't really seem like a real person.
No, totally. That's what
I'm sure he's a real person and with real feelings and respect.
He didn't look like a real
hot fun bakery man.
Yeah,
his bum did look very like. He almost looked like he had been inflated by something.
He looked like the tanned Michelin man.
Yeah, but, exactly. I'd love to be a fly on the wall.
She doesn't really like date or like have a fling with guys like that though. Do you know what I mean? They've always got like some kind of personality, whether it be terrible or not.
They're usually arty in some way.
Yeah.
Like a chef or a writer or like a quirky kind of
not always because like there's the politician and there's big and.
Yeah, that's true. But they're always a bit quirky. Like yeah. She doesn't really go for beefcakey. So like Samantha was always the one that would that's be true. Like, step into my office, delivery pizza boy or something.
Speaking of.
It's James' Samantha favorite time.
It's my favorite time of the week. Light on the ground last week with the Samantha speculation. I wasn't feeling good, Claire.
No.
I wasn't feeling good about it. But this week, bit of a positive uptick. Maybe some more stepping stones towards the reappearance of Samantha
She's
Jones.
She's not coming back, mate. You got to let it go.
That's just
She's not coming
so
back.
So after name dropping her on a terrible podcast, you know, there's the you know, she begins to worry that can I, am I allowed to do that? Will she care? But then at the time I also thought Samantha wouldn't care. It's like she's
no, but Kerry didn't even think that it was Charlotte.
No, that's
because
true.
Charlotte is always the one that cares.
But I think she would have thought of, like, if she was sober, if she wasn't high, then she wouldn't have done it. Which she ended up doing and then messaged her. And I like that Samantha was just like, yeah, no, I remember that totally. It was a really nice text exchange.
I have to say, what was genius about that text exchange was that it was classic Samantha. So Kerry asks her, long story short, is it okay if I talk about the diaphragm vagina story I mentioned on a podcast? And she was like, oh, I love that your vagina's getting airtime.
Yes.
And I think that phrasing, it's just I immediately as a fan felt Samantha in the room.
It did feel like that, didn't it?
It was clever. It was clever. And then when she says, I miss you, and there's the dots, and then nothing, and you picked that.
Yeah. Like, oh, I mean, it was pretty, like, you know, it was pretty telegraphed. But
yeah, but I think that that's genius.
Like, I need to know, though. Like, I know you're, like, definitely not in it. And, I'm inclined to agree. This must have moved the needle for you somewhat.
No, I would feel it in my bones. If they were bringing her actually back, I would know. My spidey senses would be out.
There must be some kind of resolution to all this towards the end though, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it has to be in person. Maybe it's a phone conversation. Maybe it's a Zoom call. I'm not even – like, more likely than not, she will not appear. But do you think there is going to be – like, the last scene is like maybe Samantha rings on the phone and Kerry picks it up and then the series ends? Something like that.
Yeah, I'm sure. Kim Cattrall is not going to be in it.
Okay.
That's my standing on the wall. That's my line. I'm drawing it in the sand. Line in the sand. She's not going to be in it.
No, Claire. Lines in the sand can be easily brushed over and moved.
No. She's not. They're going to do there's some plot device, but no. She's not going to be in it. I think because I after watching this, I feel like they're going to do another season.
I think they're definitely.
Definitely.
I mean,
like they've
the
set
biggest,
it up.
As I mentioned, the biggest opening ever.
Exactly. They've set it up to be a long-standing show.
Yep.
The next season, I wouldn't be surprised if after Kim Cattrall watches this, she sees what a success it is and they offer her $1 billion.
And it's better than you'd think.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe they convince her to come on the next season. And if that is the case, I think they've set it up for a long payoff and maybe you'll be right there. But this season, it's all done already.
Yeah, I'm like 99% sure that you are correct.
But you're still.
There's that fraction of.
But
it's like when Luke Skywalker turned up at the end of The Mandalorian season two. Nobody thought that was going to happen, but it did happen.
Yeah, but he didn't. Everyone didn't hate him and he hadn't like done a massive feud with everybody on the show.
That's true. Mark Hamill.
You know,
had
he
hadn't
tweeted
done a
about.
Massive feud.
No, exactly. He hadn't tweeted at everybody. Look. What I just
I know we have this conversation literally every week.
We do.
People must be sick of it.
I know, exactly. And what I do have to say is that, as I repeated to myself already, I love how much care has been taken with her character to make choices in the show that clearly make it clear that Kerry really misses her, that there was a rift that's very believable, that Kerry keeps reaching out, but also that Samantha is still a good person and still in this show doing things that you think she would do.
Mm.
And it feels very true to her that she would be very happy to talk about vaginas because that's classic Samantha, but feelings she can't enter into.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Kerry says, I miss you. She can't handle that. But if Kerry had said something like, I just got carried up the stairs by a man who bakes hot buns and had hot buns, you know, she would have been all over that, you know? And I think that's really great because it does make the fans feel like, oh, she's around. Because I actually felt from the previous episode, oh, maybe they've just like dropped her now. Like I'm she glad had they, the two yeah, seasons, I felt two exactly episodes, the same and it felt yeah. strange. It was like, okay, so maybe you just did a nod to the fans and now you're moving it on.
Yeah.
Whereas in reality, it wouldn't be that. Her kind of specter would be still living large over those women that's in different right. ways. So, yeah, anyway.
Interesting. You know what's interesting? Reviewing right. a podcast in app, as you can do with this one. A lot of people do it for our spin-off show. No, this is a spin-off show. Our other show, Suggestible. Mm-hmm. This is, of course, Suggestible in the City. All reviews help. This person, Loud Gay America, says, 5 stars, thank you so much. A spin-off of a less successful podcast? Sure, why not? These two seem to have a really nice chemistry. Thank you so much, Loud Aww. Gay America, for being loud and gay and American and leaving us a review. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You got anything else before we wrap things up?
Yes, if you would like to write into the show, you can do so at suggestiblepod@gmail.com. And we have had quite a few little episodes. Turns out people are really invested in Suggestible in the City. So, or more to the point, and just like that.
And just like that.
Suggestible in the City is our podcast, not the show. This email is from Liam. Hi, hello, 22-year-old male Sex and the City fan here. Welcome. Woo. You have come to your place, my friend. I'm not sure how I feel about the new series yet. Interesting. I feel like the 6th season sucked all the cynicism out of the shows and then the movies were the movies. But anyway, do you think Skipper will ever come back? As much as I'd personally love to see Ron Livingston again, I really want to know whatever happened to Skipper. Any older characters you're hoping to see? Any possibility of a Spider-Man crossover since it takes place in NYC?
Oh, my goodness, also, the dream.
More like woke in the city.
Whoa, somebody finally said it.
No, he didn't.
Skipper. Ah,
I don't know.
I don't need to say him. Do you?
I'd love to see him. I liked Skipper. I liked his little ferrety face with his little curly hair.
Why did he?
I just would love to disappear. Know if he was happy. Well, because Miranda kind of kept him on as like a sort of toy boy.
Let's get a text message. Hey, I'm Skipper and
I'm
very unhappy. Because
he was in the first couple of seasons and then I don't ever think he really reappeared after that.
Yeah.
And I would love to know because they never really resolved his character arc. Like what happened to him? Did he meet a nice girl? There was that awkward scene where like he was having sex with one girl and then Miranda calls him and he like breaks up with the girl in the middle of it.
That's right.
And it was all really awkward. And then he thinks it's like the start of their love, you know, forever affair. And she's like, oh, no, it's not. See you, Skippy. And he was like really angry.
Oh, man, I'm Skipper.
Yeah. So I don't know. Is there any other old characters that you'd like
to see? It's interesting. I'd completely forgotten that he was even in the show at all. Not really. I think we've mentioned most of them really at this point, the ones that I'd wanted to see at least.
I'm just thinking through now because, I mean, I really like Susan Sharon. That was really funny.
Yeah, that was good.
And Bitsy came back.
That I think was it was really cool good. To see Big's ex-wife as well. I thought that was a good inclusion.
Yeah, that was really a really good inclusion. I'm just kind of, I mean, obviously, like Smith Jarrett's not going to come back if Samantha's not in it, right?
Would
you want to see him?
Why though? Like to bring him in? Why would you bring him in? Because I think that absolutely ran its course.
Yeah, completely.
You know, because even he turns up in the second movie and he's like, "It's me, I'm Smith. I'm in this movie too. I'm doing a. I don't even. Was he running a nightclub? I have no idea what he was doing. But it felt weird.
No, he's an actor.
No, but he was doing a different thing in the second movie.
Oh,
he probably was. Yeah, he was probably doing an act. It was probably at a premiere or something.
Yeah,
but yeah. So I didn't. I don't need to see him again. Do you?
No. You know who I did quite enjoy? I loved that, and I don't remember her name, but she was a fashion designer in the episode where Carrie does the runway and she ends up being fashion roadkill.
Oh, okay.
I really enjoyed her character. She's an Asian woman with glasses and just like, Carrie, darling, you're going to be this, you're going to be that. And she just was like, had a lot of tude and I really enjoyed her.
Carrie's like, I'm going to be a model. And they were like, you're going to be in the weirdly shaped model group or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man.
Even though like, she looked crazy. Yeah, exactly. She wore those hot pants. And then it had that short, like To Be Real song at the end. And I've watched that so many times because
you love To Be Real, don't you?
To Be Real. Yeah. Because it's just so realistic, that whole thing. Yeah, so as I said before, I want the Jewish family to come back.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. Justin Theroux's character as the writer.
Would you probably think that's more likely than Samantha at this point, I'd imagine.
Yeah, but I didn't think they'll bring that family back either. And I don't think they'll bring his character back. I don't think he's kind of interesting enough. And Burger. I do want to see Burger. I've already talked about that.
A big Burger game.
Yeah. What about Trey? Would you want to see Trey?
Which one's Trey? I've forgotten.
He's Charlotte's ex-husband.
Ah, oh, fuck him. So that would be interesting, like high society Trey, like coming across him.
Yeah. And Bunny, her mother-in-law. I'd love if Bunny came back because she's
Trey
so funny.
Disappeared.
Yeah, he kind of goes overseas.
Yeah,
and then he never, the divorce
is finalized with him completely off screen.
Yeah.
Like he sends the letter to tell her to give her whatever she wants or whatever.
Exactly. And then it's just done with.
Yeah, so. No, because I like Kyle MacLachlan. So, yeah. Look, I'm open to anybody coming back if they can.
Yeah, it's like seeing sort of old.
If they can work it in, it's weird if it's just like, hello, I'm. It's just like, you know, the walking tour of Sex and the City characters.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, thanks, Liam. That was a great question.
Loved it.
Liam finishes with one of my favourite pods ever. Love hearing people be passionate about this show because none of my friends want to talk about it. Liam, thanks, mate. That's our
same.
Except for me.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you and if you'd like to write in just like Liam has, just send us an email to suggestivepod@gmail.com because this is the place for you, my friend.
It certainly
is. If, like Liam, you're 22 and male and have no one else to talk about it with.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be here for you every week. Excellent.
Until the show finishes.
Correct. Exactly. Or until Samantha comes into the episode.
Oh, well, then we finish?
Then we finish.
Yeah. I just scream, I told you, for 40 minutes. I said it was going to happen.
You know who I really hated?
Yeah.
Richard, Samantha's ex-boyfriend.
Oh,
you know
the worst. James Remar. Yeah, James Remar's great, but
I hated him so much and I sort of and it was awful. I really hated and I don't want to see him. He just makes me feel gross. Cuz I hated that scene. I mean, so such great writing, but when Samantha cheats on Smith Jarrett with him and
I don't
so
even
sad.
Cheat because like, they're not really like official.
No, it's not even cheat. It's just this awfully sad, awful moment and it made me really sad.
I would like to like but if they had him and her back and seeing them go head to head again. And just see how Samantha would handle him now. Because I think her reaction would be very different to what it was
then
when they initially broke up. Yeah.
Would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
So much speculation.
Anyway, there's too much Samantha speculation. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you to Raw Collings for the edit. Sorry, this is so long.
Correct.
And we'll see you in the next week.
Okay.
We're keeping these going through the new year.
We are, exactly. Right. We're tragically hip.
That's right. Have a safe and happy new year.
You too. Bye.
Meet, no, not
no,
to
them.
You.
Just they
to,
are. Yeah, have, yeah. have, yes.
Have a,
you.
Have a, yeah, you can have one too, though.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.